Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic life. Find it, get it, learn it, live it. We trust that you've been tuned in for the first 2 weeks of this study. If not, we'll review in just a few moments to get you caught up. And we are beginning this series of studies in Acts chapter 17 each week. So if you want to take a moment now, get your Bibles and find Acts chapter 17, that's where we'll be starting in just a few moments. And as you get your Bibles, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of our program today, we'll give you complete information on how you can contact us here. We have a web address, toll-free phone number, and of course a mail address. And in any one of those ways, if you'd like to contact us with any questions or comments that you have about the program, we would certainly welcome that. Also, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, we'd be glad to send them to you without any cost or obligation. So get a pen or pencil, some paper, to get that contact information down at the end of the program also. Right now, though, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and we will read two verses as we begin today, verse 24 and 25. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. There we read this, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. In this passage, Paul, preaching there at Mars Hill in Athens, says about the true God, the true living God, he giveth to all life. And the topic of our study this month is just that, life. Now, as we consider that topic of life, we're looking at several different aspects of life. We're looking at where we can find life, how we get life, how we learn about that life, and then how we live life. Life. That passage that we just read in Acts chapter 17 tells us that the God that Paul talked about, the God that he preached, the God that we as believers worship, the God that created heaven and earth, gives to all life. Our goal in this series of studies is to understand where we can find life, how we can get life, how we can learn about the life that we've received, and then finally, how we can live that life we've received. Life. Find it, get it, learn it, live it. We spent the first 2 weeks understanding how to find life and how to get life. Life can be found in the pages of a book. John chapter 6 and verse 63. In fact, let's turn there to John chapter 6 and verse number 63. John 6:63, Jesus Christ says this. John chapter 6, verse number 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Life is found in the words of God. The words of God are found in the pages of a book. That book was inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. That book has been preserved through the ages. It exists today for English-speaking people in the King James Bible. And that's where you'll find life. Life is not to be found in the philosophies of men. Life is not to be found in the things of this world. Life is not to be found in money. Life is not to be found in the fleshly pleasures of this life. Life, rather, is to be found in a book. So if we first want to find life, God is a God that gives life. And the thing that makes the God of the Bible different than all the other gods of the universe, all those that claim to be God, is that the God of the Bible is a God that gives life. He giveth to all life. So we find that life. We find the life that God has to offer. We find the life of God as revealed in Jesus Christ in a book. In the Bible. Now, the second issue we looked at just last week was how do we get life? Once we've found life, once we know where life is, How do we get that life? How do we receive that life? And we see that that life is received by faith. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6, and verse number 23. And in Romans 6, 23, we read this: "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We can get life as a gift. You can't work to earn life. You can't buy life. You can't bargain for life. You can't barter for life. Life can only come, true life, eternal life, as a free gift through Jesus Christ. Now, how do you receive that gift? How do you get that gift? How do you reach out and take that gift that God offers? Well, back in the third chapter of Romans, Paul talks about that gift. And he talks about that gift in terms of the righteousness of God, that God gives His righteousness and therefore eternal life. Romans 3:22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." Believe what? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 says, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We get life by faith as a gift of God by grace through faith. We receive that life. That life that's in the pages of that book, that life that's in the pages of God's Word, becomes a part of us, becomes a part of our heart and soul by faith. Now today, we want to consider how we learn about that life that we've received. We find that life in the pages of a book. We get that life by belief, by faith. We now need to learn about the life that we received by faith. Now, you know, anytime you want to learn something, if you want to learn about math, you want to learn about science, you want to learn about medicine, to learn, you have to study. Well, there is a verse in God's Word, in the source of life, that tells us to do just that. There's one verse that tells us how to learn about life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. And there we read this: "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In this verse, we are told, number one, that we must study. And in fact, this verse is the only verse in God's Word that tells us to do that, that tells us to study God's Word. And that word "study" is found only in your King James Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then God gives us the key to studying. We study His Word, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, the idea of rightly dividing the Word of truth, we want to spend some time today and talk about this issue of rightly dividing the Word of truth. We are to study. That's clear from the verse. We also, though, as we study, and the way in which we study is by rightly dividing the Word of truth. As I said, we want to spend some time today considering that issue of rightly dividing the Word of truth. And what does God mean when He says to rightly divide the Word of truth? How do we take that principle, that statement, rightly divide the Word of truth, and apply it to Scripture? What does that really mean, rightly dividing the Word of truth? Well, let's look at a couple of passages. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 21. Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 21. And in these two passages, obviously we're looking at the very beginning and the very end of Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God says this: "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So, in the very first verse of the very first chapter of God's Word, we see a division: heaven and earth. God doesn't just say He created the universe. He doesn't just say He created. He's very specific. He divides His universe into two separate areas, two separate realms, if you will, heaven and earth. If we turn all the way to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, we read this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." We go all the way through Scripture, through all of that recorded history, through all of God's dealings with from Adam to Noah to Moses to the prophets to the earthly ministry of Christ to the ministry of the Apostle Paul through the book of Revelation. And you know what we still have? We still have heaven and earth. The basic division in God's Word is between the earth and heaven. When God says rightly dividing the word of truth, He gives us the division that spells that out. He tells us, here's what I mean by rightly dividing. In the beginning I created the heaven and the earth. We go all the way through Scripture, all the way through that recorded history, and at the end we have a new universe, but not just a new universe, a new heaven and a new earth. So as we seek to understand God's Word, as we seek to rightly divide the Word of truth, that's one of the keys, because that's the division that God gives us. There are many ways that people seek to understand, many systems that they try to overlay over God's Word and make His Word fit into their little system, their theological system or their hermeneutical system. But we don't really need to do that. In fact, it's wrong to take your man-made system and try to lay it over the Word of God. God's Word says, here's the basic division between heaven and earth. Now, a second thing that we need to understand about studying God's Word, about learning this life, is that God's purpose, God's plan, is that Jesus Christ would reign supreme in both of these areas, in heaven and in earth. Turn with me over, if you will, over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him." God's plan, God's purpose, that's the word Paul uses there in verse 9, His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. That is, something that you purpose in yourself is when you determine, this is what I'm going to do. And what God has determined that He is going to do, what God has purposed in Himself, is that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when time is no more, when time is complete, when time is filled up, He will bring all things in heaven and in earth together in one in Christ Jesus. That is, that Jesus Christ will reign supreme. The book of Philippians says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Every knee and every tongue in heaven, every knee and every tongue in the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So if we take this first truth, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and that's the basic division that goes all the way through Scripture. And then we understand that God's purpose and plan that He purposed in Himself is that in all of that universe, in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ will reign supreme. Jesus Christ will be over all. Then as we begin to go through Scripture, it becomes a relatively simple matter to understand. When any verse of Scripture that we read, any passage that we're seeking to interpret or to understand, any passage that we want to put in its proper context, it's simply a matter, we know what all those passages are getting to. All those passages are pointing to Jesus Christ reigning supreme over all. Now some of those passages are describing how God is going to have Jesus Christ reign supreme on the earth. Some of those passages are dealing with Jesus Christ reigning supreme in the heavens. The goal is the same, that Christ will reign. Christ will reign on earth. Christ will reign in heaven. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Genesis chapter 1. And just see for a moment how this principle of Bible study works. It's rightly dividing the word of truth. We read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now if you go to Genesis 1:2, the very first two words of Genesis 1:2 are important, or verse 3 words rather. And the earth was without form and void. In Genesis 1:2, where is it that God is beginning to work? Well, it's clear. And the earth was without form and void. And even in Genesis 1, even when you see God dealing in the heavens, it's for the purpose of doing something on the earth. Let me illustrate that. Go down to verse 19. Let's start up at verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven. So there he's dealing with the heaven, the firmament of the heaven, that stellar heaven, that heaven where the stars are, where the planets are, where the galaxies are. He's dealing out there. But notice the end of verse 15. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So even in Genesis 1, when God talks about creating things out here in the heavens, it's for the purpose of giving light and being for days and times and seasons and years on the earth. And the key, if you go down to verse 26, is that authority, that dominion. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Mankind is given dominion on the earth. The issue is who rules, who reigns, who has authority on the earth. God extended his dominion and authority to the earth through Adam. Now Adam gave that authority and dominion over to Satan. But God is extending his dominion to the earth. Let's just look very quickly at two passages. Get Daniel chapter 7 and Luke chapter 19. Daniel 7 and Luke chapter 19. And let's just illustrate how the point of the Old Testament prophets is that dominion of God be brought to the earth. Daniel chapter number 7 and then Luke chapter 19. In fact, even before we get to the prophets, in Genesis chapter 12, as God sets Abraham aside, and we've looked before at Genesis chapter 12, but what an important turning point it is as God begins to form the nation Israel, and he says to Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God's purpose for that nation that he's going to build with Abraham is to bless all the families of the earth. In thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. God continues that policy of dealing with the earth. He creates the nation Israel to extend his dominion to the earth. Notice here in Luke chapter 19, verse number 11. And as he heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. His apostles thought that the kingdom was going to appear immediately, that immediately God would take his dominion back on the earth. And he gives them this parable, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. In the passage, the nobleman is Jesus Christ going into a far country, into heaven, to receive a kingdom and return to where he is, to the earth. Daniel chapter 7 records prophetically what that event will be like when it occurs. Daniel 7 and verse number 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. You see, the point of Israel as a nation, The point of Christ's earthly ministry is that he is going to leave this earth, receive for himself a kingdom, and return. And the kingdom that he receives, he's given dominion over people and nations. Where are nations? Well, nations are here on the earth. That's the families of the earth that God told Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. As he reaches out to bless those families, to bless those nations are the issue. The earth is the issue. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look now at a different emphasis. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians to the church, the body of Christ, to the church at Ephesus, which is a part of the body of Christ. And he says this, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together where? In heavenly places. Paul's writing to people whose dominion, whose authority, whose kingdom is not a kingdom on this earth. Not a kingdom that we received and brought to the earth, but a kingdom in heavenly places. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 and verse number 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which in the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now there, Paul says his ministry, his goal, his mission is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Well, that would appear to be a very earthly focus, to make all men see. Men live on the earth. But notice what he says in verse 10, to the intent, for the purpose, that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Our ministry here on this earth as members of the body of Christ, although we seek to have all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that's for the purpose, for the intent, that the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Remember, the issue is dominion and authority. We are not taking dominion and authority of this earth. The church, the body of Christ, does not rule on this earth. The earth is in the hands of Satan. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the god of this world. But what we do on this earth influences principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's the dominions that we wrestle against. In fact, notice Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Where are flesh and blood? Well, they're here on the earth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where are the powers we wrestle against? High places. Heaven and earth, high and low. We wrestle against principalities and powers. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. So our focus, we're seated in heavenly places. Our ministry is to principalities and powers in heavenly places. We wrestle against principalities and powers in heavenly places. So we know that these passages in Ephesians 6 are written to people whose focus is not on the earth and dominion on the earth, but dominion in heaven. One last passage, Galatians chapter 1. The thing that is the key to bring this all together, Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 11, we read this. This is Paul speaking. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jump down to verse 15. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. The thing that is important for us to understand as we go to Scripture and seek to rightly divide the word of truth is that the only writer of Scripture that deals with this heavenly information is Paul in his epistles, in his letters to the church, the body of Christ. The focus of the law and the prophets and the earthly ministry of Christ is on this dominion on the earth. It is Paul who has the focus of dominion in the heavenly places. Learn your life. Your life, the life that you have in Christ, that you've received in this dispensation of grace, you can learn about it only in those epistles of Paul, Romans to Philemon, written to the body of Christ about a heavenly hope and a heavenly calling and a heavenly mission. You won't learn your life in the prophets or the law or the earthly ministry of Christ. We should study all of that and understand it. But your life in Christ in the age of grace is found in the ministry of Paul. We'd like to help you understand more about how to rightly divide the word of truth. And we'd like to do that by sending you the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies. If you just write to us at Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is gracealive.us and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. If you have questions or comments about what you've heard, we'd love those and we'd be glad to respond to them. If you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, just request them. We'll be glad to get them to you with no cost or obligation. And then we hope that you'll be tuned in next week as we conclude this series on life. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.